Hey everyone, this is Jared from the editing room. Before we get the episode started, I do want to make one correction from the very end credits where I give music credit to Anna Snyder. Anna does make the intro outro music, and we are very grateful for her for that. But I wanted to add some backdrop music for How to Plays and that section. So I went online, looked around at Pixabay, and found at least one that I want to try out and see how it feels. It's called Inspiring Cinematic Ambient. It's made by Lexin Music with the artist name of Alexei Chistilin. I'll have his links in the episode description if you want to check out more of his stuff. Alexei, thank you so much for making the music that you did. I think it's a good fit. Listeners, if you have any thoughts, please let me know. All right, let's get the episode started. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, hikers and wanderers. My name is Jared, and with me is the hiker man himself, Ian.
That's me. Hi.
That all you got? We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at two games that live within the same family. First, we will look at Parks, designed by Henry Audubon. Artwork created by a group of artists known as the 59 Parks Print Series and published by Keymaster Games.
Parks is a 1-5 player card collecting game where players are exploring the great national parks. You are moving your hikers along this trail to collect different resources, trail gear, and canteens of all different types. You will use these resources that you collect to explore the many national parks throughout the game. You will continue to play through the four seasons of the year, and the player or players who have the most points at the end of their journey, they'll also have their own personal goal. After that, whoever has the most points wins the game.
After we wrap up our discussion on Parks, we will take a look at its new younger brother, Parks Roll and Hike. Designed also by Henry Audubon, but also included with Maddox Schuler. Artwork created by Andrea DeMuta and published by Keymaster Games.
Parks Roll and Hike is a 1-4 player roll and write, obviously.
Perfect.
Where players are on a hike inside a national park. Individually, one specific park, to be specific.
And they're
collecting,
together.
Collecting different resources, also souvenirs, along their hike. They will also create sketches, write interesting notes about their journey, and after 3 days of hiking, the players will add up their points from their thrilling hike, and whoever has the most exhilarating hike and journey wins. So let's discuss Parks, and then let's discuss Parks Roll and Write, or Hike.
Nope. Which is a roll and write.
It is a roll and write.
Fantastic. All right, Ian. I have a question for you.
Oh.
What national park do you want to make sure that you visit at some point in your lifetime?
Wow. All of them.
What a cop-out answer.
Yeah. No, I mean, any of the ones really out west, honestly, like in Utah or, like up, I guess, in like Oregon, any like Colorado, all of them, you know, Yellowstone or what's the one out in Utah? I don't know if that one's actually a it probably is a national park. It has to be Mount Zion or whatever. Is that an actual park or is that just a place that hasn't?
Zion National Park is actually a national park. Yes.
Okay, good. I was about to say it really needs to be if it's not.
Actually, Ian, a quick Google search will tell you that there are actually 5 national parks in Utah alone.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I want to go to Utah. So, so any of those, I would like to see Niagara Falls as well.
Oh, dude, that one's so cool.
Yeah. So what about you?
All right. So I have two answers. One dream that Anna and I have at some point is to hike the entirety of the Appalachian Trail.
That's awesome.
That'll go through multiple national parks. So that's kind of just a throw in. We're not sure when we're going to do that since we have kids now. We're either going to go once they're like in high school, or we'll just wait till they get out of the house and then go. We'll see. But definitely on the list to do at some point. So that's very exciting. And then I think I need to visit Alberta, Canada at some point, because there are two national parks up there, Jasper National Park and Banff National Park. Both of these look absolutely beautiful. And I am a huge sucker for when you have a beautiful setting of water and mountains right next to each other.
Yeah.
So that's something that I need to check out. I kind of got into this deep dive after playing parks of looking at these different national parks, and I kept coming back to these two.
Yeah, that's man. There's too many, honestly, in this game.
There's a lot.
I'm like, oh shoot, I need to go to these. So what is a national park that you have been to that's like one of your favorites?
So, I mean, I think the easy answer for me is Niagara Falls. I got to go when I was a teenager. It's an absolutely epic sight getting to go through the state park as well. I don't know if it's considered a national park, I guess, but that whole experience is just, it's hard to describe without seeing it in person. Even I remember seeing pictures before going, but yeah. And I am, as I'm Googling, it is not a national park. So I'm not answering your question.
That's crazy to me that it's not, because it's such a, I mean, it's a very like known worldwide falls.
Sure. It is. Yep. I mean, I will say also, just to actually answer the question, and this is something that we're going to experience on the Appalachian Trail when we go, but the Great Smoky Mountains National Park is fantastic as well. And being in Tennessee, we're blessed to be so close to that and to be able to experience it, but definitely would highly recommend that as well.
So for me, I don't know if like what specific park, because there's a Cherokee National Forest, and then there's also the Appalachian Trail, and then up in Roan Mountain, there's a Roan Mountain State Park. So I'm sure there's some type, I mean, it's all part of this one big like area, but it is part of the Great Smoky Mountains, I guess, as well. It's all part of that whole ridge. So yeah, I would agree with you. That's one of my favorite areas to be. I will say the Grand Canyon is also if there's one that I'm gonna pick that I know is actually a national park, then yes, the Grand Canyon was amazing. I have a picture somewhere that I got printed, and it's super cool. It's one of my favorites. I have it in the house because it's just so pretty.
I'm so jealous. Anna's been to Grand Canyon as well, and I haven't. And it just sounds so cool. And I wish that I could.
You're like, look, it's, you're just one of those things you just look at and you're like, I don't even know what to think right now. It's like my eyes, it just doesn't feel real, you know? It's like my eyes have to be deceiving me. This cannot be real.
Right. Well, whether it's a national park or it's just a state park or whatever it may be, we're not elitist when it comes to parks here. So just come and go and visit, walk the trails. Always a good time. I was doing some Googling just as an honorable mention, and it goes back to a game that we played at Gen Con. So many people online were saying that Redwood National Park is like this sleeper park on as far as one of the greats.
Yeah, no, that one's on the list as well. I want to see the Redwood Forest as well. Yeah.
It's just like this mystical place that you go to. Yeah.
That would be like, I don't really want to go to California, but that's like the reason why I would go. I have no interest in seeing the city. I want to go to the Redwood Forest. That's sure. literally why I would go there.
I get it. I understand. No disrespect to our California listeners, but
I'm not interested in that many people.
us Southeastern boys can't handle the West. I don't know what to tell you. Anyways.
Well, tell us.
Yes. We're going to talk about how to play this game. I do want to clarify in the front end before I forget later on when we're in the discussion. It's always important to us to be upfront and honest. We were given Parks Roll and Write for free as a review copy at Gen Con. I already owned Parks, so that one has been a game that I've played with my own spent money, I guess, is how you'd say that. And so just to be transparent in case that is important to you. As we go forward, though, let's talk about how to play this game. in parks, not the Roland hike. We'll talk about that one later. In parks, players take on the role of two hikers as they trek across different trails over the course of four seasons of a year. Each trail, or round, represents a different season, and as the season comes to an end and a new one begins, the trail also changes. On these trails, hikers will collect resources, visit national parks, and take photographs. The goal of the game is that by the end of the fourth season, you have collected the most points through visiting said parks, collecting photos, and completing your personal goal. There is a main board that houses the current parks available to be visited. Additionally, it houses gear that can be purchased that gives some sweet upgrades to your travels, canteens which can be used to exchange water for other resources or abilities, and season cards which determine the bonuses earned during that particular season. Players have access to two game trays as well that house the wooden resources of the game, as well as the photographs that were taken. In addition to the main board, there's a trail that is created next to the main board, and that is where most of the game takes place. The start and end space always remain the same, but the middle tiles of the trail are always shuffled and line up randomly at the beginning of a round, which creates a new trail each time you play. Each tile has either a resource to be gained, forest, mountain, water, or sunshine, or an action or two that can be taken, such as collecting new canteen cards or taking pictures by spending resources. Players will take turns moving either their hikers along the trail. You can go forward one space or multiple spaces. You could even go all the way to the end, but you can't go backwards and you can't share a space with another hiker, yours or someone else's, unless you use your campfire token. In the first round, there's only 5 or 6 tiles depending on the number of players, so the trail is going to get tight really quick. Once you use your campfire token, you can't use it again until one of your hikers reaches the end of the trail. Once you reach the end of the trail, you'll have a choice. You can buy gear, reserve a park to visit later, and claim the first player token if you've taken that choice before anyone else that round, or you can visit a park. You visit parks by spending the appropriate resources required at the bottom of one of the three available parks shown on the main board. You add that park to your collection, and it'll be worth a number of points at the end of the game as shown on the card. After all hikers have reached the end of the trail, the main board resets by filling in empty gear spaces and changing the season cards. A new trail is formed by taking the tiles from the previous season and adding in an additional advanced tile to the mix. These tiles can add options like activating other tiles, visiting parks while on the trail, buying gear on the trail, exchanging resources, and more. Play will continue until the end of the fourth season. Players count up their points, and the player with the most points wins. Let's head back over to the table and talk about parks.
Parks. Let's go to the park. So, I mean, the main draw of this game is the art, right?
We would be remiss if we did not start by talking about the artwork in this game.
And all the artists deserve all the credit. There's like a lot of them for parks.
There's a whole page in the rule book devoted to them.
They're all credited, and that's really cool. You don't see that super often where they're given like this whole page, especially if there's multiple artists. I think that's really cool. Their emails are on there as well. So like if somebody really not, I don't do stuff like this, but if you did, you want an artist, you can email them. So that's really cool.
Yeah, good on Keymaster for doing that. I think that's a really cool addition to giving credit to artists. So I was, yeah. I was happy to see that. Also the tokens and the insert. I mean, I love when game publishers take the time to make it easy for me to set up and tear down a game.
Yeah.
Everything is very obviously placed in a particular spot, and it just makes it so easy to get the game in and out, which goes right along with the zen feel of this game as you're just trying to enjoy your time on a trail. I mean, you don't want to have to be spending as much time as it would take to pack a backpack to go hiking just to get this game out. And they do a great job of that as well.
One of the best features of this game to me is, how easy it is to set up. You shuffle some cards together, you make the stacks, you deal a couple out to each player, and then you move.
That's right.
And you start playing. I think that's just a really clean, simple way. Obviously, everything's stored really well, but the complexity of the game isn't super heavy, and the ease of entry and starting is also really light. So it leaves so much for you to just get going. There's not any waiting. There's not any a whole lot of setup here. You're just getting on your hike and getting into the parks. So I think that's really cool.
That's right. Ian, do you want to take a minute and brag on Keymaster? And we spent some time at their booth and we've played a couple of their games now. And I know that you're particularly excited for one that they have coming out.
Yes. Well, yeah, Keymaster at Gen Con was such a cool experience. We were able to talk to them multiple times. Well, I went in and out of the booth a couple times, but we had a really good conversation there. And they were just so kind and so nice. One, that obviously they gave us a review copy of the Roland Hike game. But on top of that, their games are just so pretty. Their booth was, they had like... They literally had like hay and like all these like cute little like displays, and mainly is for another game that they have coming out or that is out is called Harvest. That was kind of like the theme they had going on at Gen Con with their booth. Sure. was that kind of whole scenario there. But on top of that, I love the fact that they are one with parks. Obviously, the art is really, really good, but because everybody knows that it's good, they're also kind of allowing people to purchase these other aspects of that artwork, which is either puzzles or these little memory games and stuff like that. So they have all those along with this game that you can purchase as well. But I think that's cool because there have been a couple games in the past that I've really, really, really enjoyed the art. And I was like, dang, if I could like get a puzzle or get, you know, another thing where it was just more of the same art, I personally really like that. So I do like it when companies are like, hey, like you really like this art. Here's a little bit more of it. So I think that's always a cool little to kind of key in. I think that's really important to be, you know, in tune with what people like about your game, which is so much of this game. And I think Keymaster has, I think in general, they have really good components, really good artwork. Their box art is also always strong. So I think those are really cool aspects of really their whole company. I think it's really nice. I mean, even the little parks Roland Hike is the box art I really like. So, I mean, the components are great. So, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I was just going to say, I think my favorite thing about Keymaster games, and really this is the thing that draws me to them, is that they find the right balance of giving great artwork and components with a solid, just above family weight game.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm not just buying artwork. When I buy a game, there's actually a solid game in there. It's never I don't want to say never. It's not necessarily a game that's going to blow me away in the way that a bigger game is going to. Yeah. But in that step above a family weight, and I don't want to say too far of a step above because I think that family weight definitely works here as well for parks. But I love that it's a game that I'm going to enjoy. I don't like buying a game where the art looks awesome and the components look awesome, and then I get into it, I'm like, well, there's like barely a game here. And yeah, so that always frustrates me. But I really enjoyed this game. And so I think the fact that Keymaster has found that balance, going back to structuring their box in such a way that it makes the whole experience from start to finish of opening the box all the way to closing it back up feel so smooth, and it really brings a white glove service to the table, which I like.
Again, back to the ease of use. We put this game out on the table and put it away within a total of combined minutes of like two. Like,
and that was and that was including me accidentally dumping out the tokens, and we cleaned it right back up within 20 seconds. It was
great.
Yeah,
it was. That's
what a,
true.
What a you klutz. Did,
what a goof. You just threw it on the floor.
I don't know what I did there, but yes. So the game, let's talk about the game itself.
Yes. Yes. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. So favorite mechanics of this game. I am a big fan of games where you can't usually share a space, where you're moving along a track. Decisions have to be made about, okay, this is what I want. But if I take this, that means this is probably not available next turn. So how do I negotiate and navigate that? I feel like it does a great job of that as you're going along the trail and deciding, okay, I'm going to go for this because if I go for this now, that puts me ahead to get to this park, which I really want. And I'm just going to have to sacrifice not going to this other park because I know that Ian's going to go there and get that resource instead. Mm. And so it does a good job of adding the tension of the decision making for which parks you're going to visit And you've already got a little bit of direction because of your personal goal. You're not beholden to that. There's ways to get around that as well. But it at least gives you a starting point to say, okay, this is how I want to proceed. The other thing that I'll say that I like, and then I'll pass it over to you. I really enjoy the fact that the artwork is there and it's nice and it doesn't get in the way. The structure of the cards and what I need to see from a point value, from a this is the resources I need. The wooden tokens show up really easily across the table so I can see what Ian has and what he's going for. I just like the presentation from a game perspective because as I'm working through that tension of which decision I'm going to make, I have an idea of where you want to go once we get started as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, so like you said, there's this kind of back and forth conversation in my head happening throughout this game the entire time on, do I hop ahead of him? Do I just stay on the trail behind him? Because as the game progresses, you get a couple extra, like some resources get added to the trailheads. And so if I hop ahead of you and you haven't gone there yet, obviously, then I'm going to get a little extra resource and I get to do that action first. But then I can't go backwards. So there's this constant struggle. I think it is a perfect, well-balanced amount of decision-making for a generally lighter game. But I didn't find that I was just mindlessly going around this trail.
That's right.
I felt every turn I had a very strong, good length, a good amount of time of thinking on my turn that felt appropriate for the game. And I think that was really good. I think that was really just, it was a lot of fun. It was a fun game. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking necessarily, but there was a good, I had to think about it for say, okay, what do I want to do here? What is the most kind of optimal way? Okay, let me hop ahead and get some water. And then on my next hike, I'll move my back hiker and move him up just a spot to get, you know, go into the forest or something. It was a very well-balanced development as the game goes on and decision-making. It was very thorough, I guess, the way they designed that. And that you're not overthinking it, but you should think about it a little bit because every point matters in this game.
Oh, absolutely. It's very tight.
Yeah.
And whether it's two players or more, there's only so much room to go around, only so many resources to be gained given the amount of time that you have. And so, yeah, there's times where I'm like, I could jump ahead four spaces, but what am I giving up in the process to get that resource?
Right.
And I also like to, so I think that over the years, the different games that I've played where you're going on a vacation have vastly improved. I remember games back in the day that tried to simulate that, and it was just like, man, we're like barely playing a game here. But nowadays with parks, and we played Let's Go to Japan a while back, this vacation concept is getting a lot better. And
yeah.
I felt like I actually was on the trail while I'm making these decisions. And another thing that I really like too, and this kind of catches you off guard a little bit the first time you play, but that first season, the trail is so short. And
yeah.
it really kind of simulates real life a little bit though, because when you're hiking on a trail, you have to get what's called your trail legs, where you can kind of get into that groove. And so until you have your trail legs, you're on that shorter trail and you eventually get on the longer trails because your legs are under you at that point. And you kind of feel that as you're going through the four seasons.
Yeah, you're right. I remember on this state park that I was talking about earlier, in the middle of the afternoon, it was kind of snowing a little bit up there. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And that's right. I was like, I was huffing and puffing for the first 45 minutes. And then you kind of get your feet underneath you a little bit, but it's so rewarding, which I think this game feels like to me. Like it does kind of feel like that because that first round, you're like, shoot, man, that was like 10 minutes. And you're like, how is this game going to last an hour? Like we just played around. But then, yeah, you're adding more and more. And then you're buying a lot more and you're kind of building up a lot more resources later on. It's like it really ramps. There's a really good ramping system here that you're just starting to reel in the resources. You start to get those gear.
Your gear.
So you're collecting that gear, which allows you to either, you know, buy something for cheaper or convert, you know, water into something else, which the canteens do as well. There's a really good ramping system here as well, where it doesn't feel like the game's getting longer. It honestly feels like you're just running out of time. I really like that aspect of it. There's a lot of little hidden little details here that are really adding to the depth and complexity of the game without adding in your mind the depth and complexity of that. It doesn't feel overwhelming whatsoever.
That's right. One other thing I'll say, I thought it was so genius to have the trail be modular.
Yeah.
To where every season, every game, you're not going to have the same combo
That's
of
really
spaces.
Cool. Yeah.
And you have to react to what you're dealt. I know it wasn't revolutionary, it wasn't anything crazy, but man, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah. That was a good system. It adds to the replayability because you're not, like you said, playing the same thing over and over again. And it adds, yeah, it adds this kind of different combos that are happening. An example in a game that we were playing, like I was able to turn some mountains into sun, and that spot popped up at the first trailhead. And so you had to think, okay, well, I don't really want that one because there's resources down along the trail, but I really want to stop being from getting it turn one without using the campfire. And that's what you ended up going there to use the campfire. But again, if the board were the same every time, that you wouldn't have those decisions every round. It'd be like, you're like, ah, never mind, I don't need water. Like, you're just moving on. Where there's a lot more, where it's like, if water's at the end, you're like, well, I can't do that. I'm going to have to find a, I'm going to have to find a way to manipulate the board a little bit to try and get something else earlier. So yes, I think it's really cool. I think that another thing, like I was saying, is like you're constantly having these little quick decisions that you're having to make, and that's adding to one of them. It's adding to, okay, let's shuffle these up, flip the board out. Okay, how am I approaching this round? And you kind of come up a little bit of a game plan. You're like, okay, this is the park I want, or I've already reserved this park. How do I get what I need for this and also have some extra? Yeah, that's a really good idea. It's a simple idea that adds a lot of replay value and a little bit of a randomness to the organization of the board, which I like.
Absolutely. We'll mention the gear cards really quick, and you can talk about gear from your perspective if you'd like. I'm actually going to talk about it from the perspective of, I love that there's different ways to play this game and win.
Yeah.
You don't have to go get a bunch of gear to be able to win. There's different ways to pursue what you're doing.
Right.
You loaded up on gear in the last game that we played.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to try something completely different. Let's just see. And I hate to admit this. We ended up tying, and I was blown away by
the
vast different strategies.
Well.
Yeah, it was very different. So
we used all of it, but yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I think I did use a little bit more than you did. I also got some more canteens, which are really nice. Mm-hmm. I think that conversion was helpful, but you don't have to. I think there's plenty of ways to not. I mean, you didn't have as many. You had some really specific canteens that helped, the ones that got you a wild or something like that, or the gear that also helped. Where mine were a little bit more broad. It was like, you know, I was really better at like the mountain and sun areas. And so, yeah, I think there's like this really cool balance, which is a good point though, because I think in a 4-5 player game, you might only have 1-2 gear, you know, or a couple canteens. And I think you definitely make a little bit more conscious effort to gain those kind of canteens in that way, just to have the ability to get some more resources at will. I will say though, between 2 and 4, the gear specifically, like you were saying, like you can go for gear in the higher player counts if you want, but it's not as necessary unless if you really want to do it, but it's not like this is the way to play. I think especially at a more higher player count, because those, did we decide that those don't refill? Is that right?
The way I interpret the rule book is that gear does not refill until the beginning of the next round.
Okay. So that's how we were playing it. And so, I mean, if you're playing with 4 or 5, you might not even get a shot at one, obviously, if there's 3 slots. So it just kind of depends. I think it's really cool, though, that it's not like a game breaker, that those cards don't, that's not great game breaking. And so I think that's really good because it adds a lot of balance. It adds you ability. Again, this whole really that's, I guess that's what I'm preaching here is there's, you can do kind of what you want and just kind of react to what the board's doing to you and what you need. And so it's not like you have to do this one thing. And I think that's really helpful.
So I feel like I'm going to kind of combine what I don't necessarily love about this game and player count, jumping ahead in the notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since we're kind of there anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of mentioned it.
I don't like this game at 4 or 5. I think 4 and 5, it takes away from what I enjoy about this game. At 2 and 3, this game does a great job of simulating some tension, but I'm also getting to go visit the parks that I want to visit. And while I can't always do my optimal move because I'm negotiating with the other hikers on the board, I still feel like I get to do the things that I want to do during the game. And for the theme, for the weight that it is, I don't need it to be a super tight, ultra tension. Okay, I only get to do a couple things this round. What is it going to be? And then I'm done. And I understand there's some people that are going to love that. There's some people going to want a lighter game like this that still get that tension. And for those people, that's great. I don't need to play this game at 4 or 5. I think that playing it at 2 or 3, I almost considered this being just a 2-top episode because I think it's so fun at 2. But the fact is, I feel like 3 is the right balance of tension to having this experience where the board's not too open, but it's not too closed.
I think in general, yes. I would like to try it again with a little bit higher player count just to see, because I think there's this aspect that isn't there in a low player count of obviously reacting to what's available and snatching it up. But I also think there is a little bit more of a Tetris game happening on that board, really having to like really time out your stuff a little bit more, you know, in sequence and in timing with what other people are doing in the higher player count. Because at 2, what I noticed is like going first, not as much of a big deal. But if you're at 4 and you're going first or, you know, last, that's a big deal. So I'm curious of what I think it's a little bit different of a game at the higher player count.
Oh, I completely agree.
But I definitely hear what you're saying. I kind of want to try it again, just see. I guess in general, it is a little bit, I don't necessarily like that as much of the higher player count, but I think every once in a while that tension might be very interesting in this game because, it's very unique at 4. It's just kind of different. It's different in its own way. And I think that's all right. I think that's good. I just don't know if I want to do it all the time as well, like you're saying.
I think that's what I'm saying though, is like, if you want to, it's not. Like, if you want to play it at 4 and 5...
It's not bad. It's fine. No.
It's just a different game than what it is at the lower player counts. And I don't know that I enjoy that as much for this particular game.
Right.
I don't need to fight you on the hiking trail. Like, I can do that in a lot of different games.
I think, again, like I said, with the 4 to 5, one, reserving a park is way more, like, that's a huge deal. At the higher play, because you got to be able to pick out what you want. And then on top of that, like gaining first player.
I get what you're saying, though, that some of the actions are not as important at the lower counts.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think there's even more, like you're saying, there's a lot more tension at the higher player count. And I don't know. I like the idea of that. I don't know if I like that in the moment, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you that in theory it's fine, but again, I don't know. I don't want to keep saying the same thing. So
right.
All right. Do you have any other negatives that you want to throw on the table?
No, I think this game does everything it wants to be, and I think that's really good. Like it has the aspects of this kind of lighter game, but it has some really good decision making that is hidden in this game. I did not expect it. I did not expect it to be as much of a thinker as it was. And like I said, it didn't take up time. It did make me kind of, it was puzzling at times. Like, what do I want to do here? So I really liked that. And as far as, the player count is definitely something that you want to be weary of. But as far as time to play this game is good, solid. There's nothing that I didn't like about it. There's randomness.
But we've talked about the randomness in this game is actually helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. The randomness is good. I guess the one would be like, if you have a scoring card that's like specific to water or like if you don't flip that card up, then you're not going to be able to score it. So there's that. But like, if you're playing, you should be able to get some, like you should be able to get what you're looking for if you really try. Like if that's what you really want to go for,
sure,
you should be able to get it. So I mean, it's a little bit of a, but again, it's like, it's part of the drawing of off a deck. So it's like, how much of a downside is it?
I don't know, man.
Like, because there is randomness. You don't want to see every, it's not like you just pick what parks you want. There needs to be a little bit of randomness there. So
that's right. All right. Well, let's grade this one and then move on to Roll and Hike.
I guess here's the real question, Jared. Are we still grading off what we think about our own experience of it? And because I think this game does everything that it wants to be, it would be like a 9. Is it something that I want to play all the time? Not necessarily. So I guess that puts it more like an 8. I don't know.
See, I don't know, man. Like, I think, and this is just reviews across the entire board in the whole wide world. Everyone's grading is different. And so I think you just gotta, you know, grade it as for you and caveat it as best you want.
Yeah. When I make my number in general in the past is, one, does it do what it wanted to be? And this game does. And did I enjoy playing it? Yes, I did. Do I think it is for a large group of people? I would say yes. This game fits a lot of different people. It is easier, lighter weight overall. Now, the last thing I would take is in complexity, and I like a little bit more complex games. So when I'm talking about larger complex games, that's a little bit more of my ranking and my scale. This one doesn't hit as much for that, but I really enjoyed this game. I would say I think I am going to give this game an 8 because I think it does everything that I want in a really light, easy game. I have some really strong decisions that I have to make, but overall, it's like some of the other games that I've mentioned on this podcast. Even like we've mentioned other travel games, Let's Go to Japan, Wingspan. I'm literally winging it. I'm rolling down the trail. We're just hiking. And so like I'm not like stressed about it. Sure, I'm making decisions, but I'm not stressed. I'm having fun. That's how this game was. I enjoyed every aspect of it. It felt quick. It was the pace was perfect. Very good. Really strong pace. The back and forth between like, I just move, grab some stuff, next player, go. So all of that, I think this is deserving of an 8 on a game. I think this is a fantastic game. I think it does really well. And I think it fits for a lot of different people, high level gamers to even entry level gamers. I think it fits so well.
All right. I'm going to give mine a split rating. Because I think I agree with a lot of what you said, but I don't think I agree with all of it. So for lightweight, if I'm in the mood for a lightweight game or the group's in the mood for a lightweight game, if I'm looking to play a game with family, or if I'm more interested in gateway games, I've kind of played the family games. I'm ready to take that slight step above. This game's an 8.5. I think it does so many things great. The rules are easy to understand. You can get in, get out, and you feel like you've had a full experience and it wasn't too overwhelming. I love what it's doing there. And for when I'm in the mood for a lighter game, absolutely. I 100% would have no issue playing this game if someone suggested it. And I think there's times where for date night, we'll pull it off the shelf and try it again. And I'll say too, we didn't really talk about it, but it has 2 expansions.
Oh yeah, shoot. Yeah, you're right.
I would love to explore, especially the Nightfall expansion where it includes camping.
Yeah, that's cool.
A whole camping mechanic. I definitely am interested in trying that out. So I want everyone to hear before I say this next part that I do really enjoy this game. And if you fall into any of those categories in your desire level, then you're going to enjoy this game, in my opinion. If you're a gamer who likes very gamery games and you want lots of different things going on, this is not that game. It is. It is. I think there are some heavy gamers that will get bored of this. And it while the randomness does add more replayability, and I imagine the expansions will too, but based on the base game alone, I think that after a while, it's going to become like, well, I feel like we've explored that. Which is an interesting place to be, because I do think Keymaster did such a great job of adding all this different gear, because that deck is thick. There's lots of national parks to explore. Like, they did a great job with that. And again, from a gateway or just, in that gateway space, it's perfect. And so I don't even know that I necessarily need to give it this second rating. But to clarify for more heavier gamers, it's just what it is. And if you don't like a Ticket to Ride weight, then this is probably not going to be as much for you. And I'd probably put it more of a 7, because you're going to enjoy the experience a few times. And then you're going to say, okay, I feel like I've done it. Because even though there's all those different national parks and all those different gear and all that, there's only so many things that they do. So I do want to be careful to explain that. But
I would agree with that.
I would, for me, if I'm in that mood, I am definitely, again, not hesitant to bring it out. All right. I think that about covers it for that. Let's transition over into Parks Roll and Hike.
Yeah.
So I'll do a quick how to play. We don't need to reset the episode or anything, and then we'll dive right into this one.
Yeah.
One more note that I do want to make is that Parks Roll and Hike is not currently available for sale yet. They had some at Gen Con, but I believe the release date that they're aiming for is November. So if this is something that you do want to get your hands on, you can, if you would like to pre-order it, the only place that we've found it ready to go is on miniaturemarket.com. It is available there for $24.99, and you can pre-order it now. So, as Ian mentioned earlier, this is a roll and write where players roll dice, take turns picking from those dice, and completing what the selected die does on their piece of paper, or in this case, a logbook. The goal of this game is also to have the most points, but as roll and writes often do, is much more condensed than its big brother that we just discussed. At setup, one of six national parks are selected as the trail that hikers will be traversing in the game. Each park has its own flavor to change up the game and create different potential scoring opportunities and different actions during the game. Each player gets a logbook and a pencil. The four basic dice and the lead hiker die are rolled to start the first round, and tokens are placed along the trail of the board. On a player's turn, they have two choices. The first option is to collect a die. They will record in their logbook what they've received from that die. This could be sun, which represents time spent on the trail, water for your canteen, landmarks represented by forests, mountains, meadows, and the national park chosen earlier, journal notes, and wildlife sightings. And while there are a lot of different options to select from, and several of them work together, logging them in your book is actually pretty straightforward. The cool thing is that certain recordings, such as wildlife sightings, will also impact other parts of your logbook. For example, if I log a wildlife sighting for a fish, then I also get to add one water to my canteen. Or, if I log enough notes about my forest, then I'll log an additional wildlife sighting, and other things like that. The other option a player has is to spend their sun resources to take the lead hiker die. This will do a few things. First, the player takes whatever is on the lead hiker die, like a normal die, then moves the hiker marker along the trail to the next token bonus. All players get the token bonus, and then the player who took the lead hiker die will roll all the dice and select again. Then turns resume. Once you reach the trail's end on the main board, you will move to the sunset phase. During this phase, you will collect points and resources based on the various things you're able to log during the day that trigger during the sunset phase, as well as how much water you have for that particular day. You'll reset the board and a new day begins. After 3 days, or rounds, the game is over, scoring is tallied, and whoever has the most points wins.
Just like that.
Just like that. Again, since this is in the same family, we must talk about artwork. And I have one thing in particular that I love about the contents of this game. And I'm going to do it right now. Oh my gosh. The smell of the different logbooks is so fancy and nice. It smells just like I'm out in the outdoors. I know it's just paper from the manufacturer, but I guess love that's it.
I don't know what it is. I guess it's just the paper smell, but it definitely had a very unique rustic smell. I don't know.
Especially when we opened it up. It's going to lose it pretty quick, but yeah. No, it made me happy.
That's funny.
I joke, but I love that the logbooks are just like field notes.
Yeah.
It's such nice quality. It's very colorful, very easy to find everything in the logbook. And again, Keymaster has done a great job of adding a great component to their game.
Yeah, the icons and I don't know, the way that the structure is all laid out. And yeah, and then what you do is you write little lines you draw a picture of whatever you, so let's say you saw a waterfall. Well, you'll draw a waterfall. And then as you go through, you'll fill lines and you literally just scribble lines representing like you writing about that experience. I think it's a really cool little idea that somebody came up with. I don't know. It was great design detail though. Also, Roll and Write in general, like if you've played a Roll and Write or if you haven't, I mean, you're collecting these icons off the dice and adding them to your book, creating little combos, creating little sequences. In general, on a Roll and Write, is that the more you collect, the better off you are, obviously. But once you collect a bunch of one thing or a combo of like this kind of combo of three different things or whatever, it triggers you to be able to do another fill-in bubble on a different area of your chart. And so this is constantly happening in this game, just like many other Roll and Writes. And I like that concept so much in games, even if it's not a Roll and Write. When I am able to combo different actions together or being able to collect a group of things and then using them to do this something else, I love that aspect. It happens really well in this game. And the cool thing about this game is it's very thematic as a Roll and Write. I think in a Roll and Write, you could just get way off, but this game feels right. When you fill in binoculars, you get to spot an animal. When you fill in an animal, it gets you something else. So I use my binoculars to spot something in the forest. I think that's really cool. I think the way that they balanced all of that out is exceptional. The design details of that are exceptional and it did not go overlooked. This is not a thrown together project. This was done really well. I know it's in the same theme as Parks and they're kind of fitting these all together. But it doesn't feel like they threw this together whatsoever. This is really well thought out. It's a nice little kind of addition to the park system that if you don't want to play that little bit longer game and you want to chuck some dice, this is the opportunity to do so with really good components as well. And I like the aspect, and at least in the game we played, the water was a really key score for me, but you didn't get as much into that.
Yep.
But I like the idea of trying to trigger all these things to give me extra water. And so I think that was a nice little detail. It's like on a hike, you need water. So I think that's really, there's a lot of little cool details that are hidden here that I didn't expect to see.
Just like in Parks, the thing about this game is that every point matters. And yeah, there are multiple ways to win in this game as well. You do see that a lot more in Roll and Writes where there's different combos that can be triggered to be able to create that diversity. But what was interesting is that because of the way the water specifically is set up, just watching you bubble in your engine as you went, I was like, I'm getting destroyed in this game. Like, I felt that the whole game.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's not a very long game, so I didn't have to feel that way that long. But
no.
I only won
by a couple points.
That's right. We got to the end, and you only beat me by a couple points. And so I was like, oh, you really can do it this other way too, and it's okay.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting give and take because you can't do everything. I mean,
no.
While I couldn't do the water, you weren't logging anywhere near as much as I was in the journal from either a drawing or a notes perspective.
Right.
And so you got to kind of decide which engine you're going to run with and try and run it as best you can. And like we're saying, there's multiple ways to do that. I think, okay, so caveat, I am not a big fan of Roland Wrights. They've never grabbed me. They've just never been something that I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. And I don't know why. I mean, it just is what it is. And so I'm coming at it from that lens. So I will say, though, that the thing that drew me, the thing that drew me to this game is the fact that I can throw it in my backpack when I go camping and I don't even need a table. Everything that I need, I can just take out of the box and right there, we're good to go. And yeah. That, you and I were talking about this when we played last night and you said that and I was like, yeah, okay, that's it. That's the draw. Because you can't do that with most games. You can't just take it with you.
Hey, it takes up no space. Because you could, I guess in a lot you could, well, I guess a lot of Roland Wrights, you put your paper down on something, which you could do, but this is like, it's in a book. So you could just hold, you don't have to put it on anything. You could You could hold it.
And write in it. Like you would a field note where you're just standing up and hiking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And the only spot that really needs a flat surface is the little board with the tracker, but you just need to throw some dice somewhere and you could, whatever.
You could do it in the box.
Yeah, like, you could do. Yeah, that's right. You could. Actually, that's a great idea. Can you open everything inside the box? Like, can you open the map inside the box as well?
One moment, please.
We're testing this live.
Live testing. Great audio. All right. So the board will not fit in the box open.
Okay.
But you can.
Put it on top.
It like flaps open.
Yeah.
So you could have it on the side there. It doesn't take that much space.
Right. But yeah, you could roll inside the box as well if you really wanted to as well. So that's a cool little aspect that I didn't think about. So yeah, no, I mean, you don't need to have, technically you don't need a flat surface. Somebody could just hold the box if you and do it that way. So yeah, it could be done. It could be done. And it's literally like the size of, I mean, not my wallet. My wallet's a little smaller than that, but
it's bigger than a wallet.
It's the size of a little bag, you know, like it would fit into a small bag for sure.
So I have a Google Pixel 7 phone.
Okay.
It is about the width of my Google Pixel phone and
a little bit deeper,
about as thick as my thumb. I stuck it straight out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's small and it fits and it's good. So I like that aspect because that's definitely a key part there with this very travel sized game that works really well on a hike. So
sure.
Definitely could take it hiking,
which is a big draw, of course. So
always,
So I will say too, like you were talking about, the combos is nice. I would say, well, I'm not gonna say that. I think player count doesn't really matter in this game. I think it changes the game a little bit because you're only getting one die around instead of two at the higher player counts. But it, you're still doing your thing. And while you're not getting as much, you're not really being interfered with in the same way as you are in parks. So it's a different kind of tension of deciding which die to take. But if you know Roland Wrights at all, that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I have a lot of critiques with the game other than it's a Roland Wright, which I don't think that's fair to hold against itself. So,
so why do you not like this game?
Well,
why did you even play? I don't like everything that it chooses to be. That's what you're saying, George.
I will say this. I was going to hold it until final thoughts, but I'll go ahead and say it here. As someone who doesn't like Roland Wrights, it's a pretty good Roland Wright. Like I will say, if someone said pick a Roland Wright and that's what you have to play right now, I would probably pick this one.
Yeah.
Because the other ones I've played either feel clunky or there's not enough there. And at least with this, I do have the benefit of taking it with me. And it does have some cool combos going on that I really enjoy. I don't have the same sense in this game that I do in parks that I'm actually visiting something.
Mm-hmm.
It feels too, it's almost like I got too far into where I'm just looking at the one tree instead of seeing the forest as a whole.
Right.
But I think from a game perspective and the fact that you can take it with you, there are good aspects there.
Yeah, I mean, just the way the game is played. I mean, Roll and Write's in general, this is how, at least my experience, is that you are just kind of, in the end, you're just filling in little circles or something on a piece of paper, where on the parks side, you know, you're actually moving your pawn around, you're getting some gear, collecting some cards, where this, you're just looking at a piece of paper. So that is kind of the insufficiency or the lack of paper being able to do it and a piece of pencil and paper. But I think the theme is strong for a Roll and Write. I think it's really good the way you're bubbling in different things on this paper or inside your journal. And I think that it really does fit well with the theme. I think it works well.
Sure.
And so I would say that for sure.
I'll say too, and you might be, if you stop me if you're about to say this,
no.
But I do like that they include different national parks, which changes up the scoring and some of the actions during the game.
Yeah, so the game's not the same. Yeah, that's
right.
Good.
It is. You basically can force the game to be different, whereas I feel like some Roll and Writes are kind of just what they are, and I might get some backlash for that, but that's just how I feel.
But there are, I think, six. Okay, there's six, and they all have their unique little special abilities that you will get to trigger on top of them adding an element of uncertainty as you go on your hike, which, like, so the desert one, like, it's really hard to find water, and then, you know, another one where it's easier to find water, like, stuff like that. And so I think that was a really good way to kind of mix up the game, which, and again, in a game that's kind of light, it has a little bit of variety to it, and I like that.
Yeah, Death Valley was rough. That one in particular was a brutal time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's very on brand, so
that makes sense. That. Hard to find water in the desert.
Weirdly enough. So, do you have any other thoughts, or shall we move into grading on this one as well?
No, I've said the things that I want to say.
I mean, it is, I don't want to, like, belittle the game. Like, it is what it is. It's very straightforward, and it is something that you can get in and out really quickly. So with that, we'll move into grading and final thoughts. I'll go first because I expect Ian to be a little more positive than me.
I see.
I don't know. We'll see, actually, because I think I'm going to split again. If you don't like Roll and Writes, you don't need this game. There's nothing about this game that is so game breaking for a Roll and Write that it just completely changes the landscape. I'll just say that. You and I were talking last night about whether or not we needed both games in our collection. And when you mentioned the camping thing, it changed my whole perspective on it.
Yeah.
At first, I would have said, I don't need Roll and Hike because Parks does what I want it to. And Roll and Hike doesn't bring enough new things to the table for that. But I think this is going to be a game that I just go ahead and take and put in with my camping gear. And then it's ready to go the next time we go camping, because we like to go camping. The kids love to go camping. And so it'll be a good one to just throw in there.
Right.
So I think for me overall, I'm going to give this game like a 6, man, because it's just, and again, that's my own personal perspective of Roll and Hikes are just kind of what they are.
Yeah.
As a Roll and Hike, I would give it a 7, because I do think it does a great job as a Roll and Hike, adding the different combos together. But for me, I'm going to put it as 6 just because it's not something that I'm going to come back to very often unless we're out camping.
I would agree with you on most of that, for sure.
Okay.
I think, Roll and Writes have a very specific niche timing to play. I think they're a little bit more of a casual, let's kill some time if I have a 10 to 15 minutes. I know this one plays a little bit longer, maybe 20, 30 if you had the full player count.
Yeah, it's probably a 30-minute spot.
Yeah. But still, less than an hour time block, you're just trying to throw some dice, works really good. I will say, searching through BGG, I don't know how many Roll and Writes are going to score a very, like, 9, 10-esque score.
Sure.
It's not going to happen, so I'm going to give it grace there. I enjoyed this one a lot. I think it had some good decision-making. I like the combos that are happening there. I think for me, like, a Roll and Write scoring almost a perfect score would be like an 8, I would say that this one would be somewhere in the 6.8 to 7 for me. And because I think it does everything that it wants to do, I still feel the theme. I like the combos. I like the dice. The dice are chunky. The box is small. The theme is still there. It fits along with the game of Parks itself, which I have played, which I really like. And the artwork is kind of consistent. I like all those aspects. So I would rate it. I'm gonna say 6.9 just because that's in between the two numbers I said, so that's fine. I think it is a very, very good Roll and Write. If you like Roll and Writes, if you're interested in one and you like this theme, I think this one works really good. So again, with an 8 being like an absolute perfect Roll and Write, I mean, it's close. It does good. It's a good one. And again, I'm not like the biggest fan of Roll and Writes. There are some that I've enjoyed. But in general, it's not something that I'm always going to try and either buy or find or play. But every once in a while, I want to play one. So this one would be on the list.
I think you said that better than I did. Thank you for validating what I was trying to say. Oh, man. All right. Very good. Well, we made it through two games. We're so, so thankful to be here. And thankful for you that you have stuck around and listened to this point.
That's right.
If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on either one of these games, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All those links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as we head back over to the two top table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Enjoy hiking. Get out there. Explore the wilderness.
Explore the world.
Get your wilderness survival badge.
Wow.